This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
A very good morning to you. Thank you so much for starting off your day with us right here on The Morning Run. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me, Julian Ng. And we warmly welcome someone who's making his debut on BFM 89.9, Sharids Abdullah. Good morning, woohoo! Sharids.
Good morning. Good morning, Han. Good morning, Julian. Thanks.
All right, so we'll definitely be looking forward to learning more about you, Sharids, in coming weeks and months. So it's a Christmas Eve, so very happy Christmas Eve to you. Look, folks, you can always be part of this Christmas Eve conversation on The Morning Run. Our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Okay, so let's give our good listeners a preview about what's coming up this hour.
All right. First, we have KL residents dining in on takeaways to avoid service fees. So, is this fair?
Yeah, so it's a pretty interesting phenomenon there. We'll get more into that in just a bit. Also, Julian, what else do we have?
Yep, we got what does it mean to be happy? Because Nobel Prize psychologist says that most people don't really want to be happy. I wonder if that's true.
Well, again, we're just posing the question, and you let us know what you think. And then also coming up in just a bit, we'll ask you, how do you measure how much good a charity does? Tis the season for giving. We are less than 24 hours away from Christmas. So we'll have these not just existential questions, but also, talking about what does it mean to be good? Are we just being bad this whole time? All right, it's 2 minutes past 6 a.m. Stay tuned. We'll have all these discussions coming up right here on The Morning Run. BFM 89.9, that was Little Richard with Long Tail Sally, and you are tuned into The Morning Run. And before that, we heard Christmas Lights by Coldplay. What a great tune there to start off this early morning on this Christmas Eve. I'm Tan Chung Han, with me Julian Ng, and guest hosting with us this morning, we've got Sharids Abdullah. We're going to keep you company all the way till 10 a.m. this morning. Now, folks, tis the season for giving, all right? We are less than 24 hours away from Christmas. Now, in this season of giving, perhaps we should consider what we're actually giving towards. Now, I'm looking at this article on Vox.com talking about one of the most frequently used criteria for judging a charity is also one of the worst. That's a headline. Now, what is that criteria? It apparently is overheads. Now, what do you guys think here? Now, are we just splitting hairs? Should we be concerned as to how the funds are being used? Are they being channeled to overheads on operating costs, or are they actually going towards the cause that you are donating towards?
I think it's a very fair benchmark to look for when you're giving money to a charity, because you just want your money to go to the right places, right? But the other point to mention is that the bigger charity you are, for example, if you're a huge charity like, Doctors Without Frontiers, Oxfam, you would have the ability to keep overheads down compared to your donations. So it lends some support to the idea that overheads are not really the best measure. It really depends on the size of the charity, I guess.
Yeah, okay. But at the end of the day, right, Julian, it comes down to that ratio, if you can use that ratio, between how much of your donation is going towards the running of that charity versus how much is actually going towards the cause, right? So I'll give you an example. This is something I had struggled with earlier on in my career. Now, right after college, I actually worked for a church, okay? And this was one of those mega churches with like 3,000 members,
mega churches.
Yeah, okay. Mega churches, And, we would be taking funds for, say, staff retreats or, all these kind of different goods and services or perks that we would get as staff. And I would struggle with that, because I'm like, well, the money should really be going towards God's work, not so much for me to go on holiday, right? So it was something that, I had to come to terms with. Now, that's from the inside. I really wonder what people on the outside, those who are donating to that church, always thought about us going on these trips, taking all these perks, etc. So I think the same dilemma can be applied to these charitable donations, right? Because you want your money to go towards either alleviating poverty or, like I said, Doctors Without Frontiers, you know, the Red Cross, etc. So, you know, I think having that this discussion about which criteria we use to judge the effectiveness of these charities is not just timely, but I think almost necessary as well.
Yeah, you're right. At the end of the day, it is the objective that we should focus on. You know, like you said, ultimately, when people give, what is it that they what is it that they're looking, the expectations that they're looking at when they're giving? Nevertheless, you know, it comes to a surprise to me when we're speaking about overheads. It was something, you know, I've worked in that's a right. nonprofit organization as well.
In New Zealand, right?
That's right, that's right. And you know, it just, at that point in time, we never thought about overheads. It was just the objective. We were just thinking about how do we achieve our target. For example, we were working with individuals with disability, and look, ultimately what we were focused on was just to try and get the guy's happy, and ultimately the board, which are comprising of the parents.
So according to this article, the reason why overhead is not a good measure for judging a charity is because of the talent that is required, right? You need to pay them, and therefore if you focus too much on charity, you will cut out talent, which is so important. Now, the question is, the people who are working in charity, should they be paid commercial dollars?
Right.
Or should the staff do a little bit of charity themselves and take a pay cut? That's a very dicey issue, I think, because if they are not paid well, then they would not stay, and then the charitable organization would lose the kind of talent that is needed to do their work.
Right. And then some that is not just talent, but also, you know, perhaps the scale of the operations. Because I'm looking at some headlines from 2015, 2016, whereby apparently the Red Cross only spent a quarter of all the donations that they got on Haiti. A quarter of that went for internal expenses. So, you know, are they too big? Are they too massive an organization whereby the effectiveness or the ratio that's being channeled towards the cause that may be diminished? Well, let us know what you think. 018-789-8899. That's our WhatsApp number. Again, 018-789-8899. Or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. The question this morning is, you know, what is your benchmark? You know, how do you judge the effectiveness of some of these charities? Let us know right here on The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. That was Wizard with I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day. I'm Tan Chung Han, with me Julian Ng, and guest hosting with us this morning, Sharids Abdullah. This is The Morning Run. Now, while some of us may wish that it is Christmas every day, I guess the question we're going to ask ourselves now is, can we be happy every day? Now, according to the 2002 Nobel Prize winner in economics, is a cognitive psychologist, Daniel Kahneman, if I'm reading this correctly. He's saying that, look, happiness and satisfaction, these are two distinctly different themes.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of research that's being done about happiness, and it's clear that we are not wired to be happy, because this harks back to our caveman days, where we're always trying to get out of trouble and always kind of expecting a wild beast just lurking around the corner, right? So from an evolutionary viewpoint, if you believe in that, right, it's what we are made up to be, just to look out for danger, right?
Right, but haven't we evolved from that, though, the whole fight versus flight instincts?
Absolutely. It's too little time to evolve. I mean, in the history of the universe, which is kind of like, billions and billions of years.
If you subscribe to that.
If you believe in the old Earth theory, hypothesis, which there are very strong evidence for. I mean, the evolution of human beings is just, a drop in the time history of the world, right? If you imagine a 24-hour clock, I mean, humans just became into existence less than half a minute ago.
Right, okay. Now, just to be clear here, so happiness is defined as, you know, a momentary experience that arises spontaneously and it is fleeting. Okay, I think that's the key component there. It's fleeting. Where else, if you look at satisfaction, it's seen as a long-term feeling that's built up over time based on achieving goals and building the kind of life that you admire. That's as described in this article on QZ.com, right? And so, you know, I think this is a timely reminder by the Nobel Prize winner about, you know, what we're really chasing is satisfaction. That is something that's more sustainable as opposed to, you know, these bouts of joy that we get from listening to Christmas songs like we've been playing this morning, right? It's beyond the superficial. It's beyond the temporal. But really, it's you know, something that is more sustainable and hopefully will keep us satisfied in the long run.
Right, so here's a tip, guys.
Oh.
Well, you know,
Dr. Sharon.
That's right. That's
in the
right.
house.
Anyway, I think one way to be happy, based on my most recent experience, is to not have any expectations.
Yeah.
I mean, recently I was in Penang. I was taking out my kids. And again, it's about being satisfied, right? It's like about being having that long-term delayed gratification. It's just about, you know, making sure this is the right thing to do. It's a school holiday. Take your kids to Penang. Let them have fun. So I had no expectation of being happy at that point in time because I've got to fork out a lot of money, right? But, you know, once I got there and, you know, the place was nice. They had a lot of, play areas for the kids, you know, it was conducive, everything. Yeah. And that is gigantic slide. And my kids were having a lot of fun. And just looking at them having fun, for some reason, you know, I was just leaving at the moment and boom, I was happy.
I think you're absolutely right because the way many people, the high flyers especially, they try to define their long-term happiness. And, you know, it's in that process of definition that results in a kind of world domination kind of attitude. There are too many high flyers around, right? So if you try to dominate the world, the journey would be a very stressful one and you can end up a very unhappy person. And it's the little things in life that makes us happy.
Sean, going back to the experience that you recounted for us there, I'm going to assume, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that you are both happy and satisfied in that moment, right? Happy because you had that temporal fleeting experience of, you know, happiness with the kids, you know, seeing how they were having fun at the playground, but at the same time satisfied knowing that, hey, you are able to, you know, create these experiences for your children and that, you know, hopefully financially, you know, you're able to, you know, recreate some of these experiences in the future as well and meet their wants and needs, right? So I think, you know, that's an important distinction to be made here, you know, trying to use this glass half full approach versus the whole glass half empty thing. Because, you know, while I say that you are both happy and satisfied in that moment, but then going back to your earlier statement as to how you set up that experience, you know, going in with no expectations, you know, that seems to be a somewhat pessimistic, right? So you don't get disappointed when you don't have expectations.
So that's a tip from, here's a tip from me. Right?
Okay, here we go.
And not so much a tip as something that I've learned recently while reading the book. I forget the title of the book and it was a very technical book, so I don't really remember it. But there is this serotonin versus dopamine phenomenon, right? And the enzymes in our body that cause happiness is serotonin. It drives the kind of satisfaction that you feel, like looking at kids, hanging out in a playground. That's serotonin at work, right? But if you go onto Facebook and Instagram and you look at all your friends living that unsustainable life, you know, traveling to the Bahamas and hanging out by the seaside, and the moment you post something up and you get a like or something, that's dopamine. That's very short term. And you know, dopamine is the thing that you get when you consume sugar or cocaine, right? And it becomes very addictive. And you're just setting up yourself
for a big fall,
the subsequent big fall if you depend on these things.
All right. Well, let us know what you think. Again, a timely conversation in the lead up to Christmas 2018. You know, let us know, you know, how do you find happiness or how do you define happiness? Or really, should we rewire ourselves and really think about, you know, how to be satisfied with our lives over the long run? Our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899. Again, that's 018-789-8899. Or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. If nothing else, just let us know you're listening and you can wish us a very Merry Christmas. We've got the 6:30 a.m. News Bulletin coming up and taking us there. We've got Dodgy with Good Enough right here on The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Lenny Kravitz with Low right here on the Morning Run. We are going to keep your spirits high, though, you know, with that song right there. Great track to keep you company as you're out and about doing your errands on this Christmas Eve. It's 40 minutes past 6 a.m. I am Tan Chung Han. With me, Julian Ng. And guest hosting with us is Sharids Abdullah. Now, thank you so much to Arvin for the WhatsApp comments. Now, earlier we were talking about the distinction between happiness versus satisfaction. The former is fleeting, the latter is more sustainable. And how do we go about with these pursuits? Arvin WhatsApp in saying, I am fortunate enough that I am financially able to provide for my family, take them on very nice holidays. And while it's an almost undesirable happiness to be with my family and watch my kids grow, it is a much deeper happiness to be able to help those in need. You know, he talks about, well, because without that, any kind of material wealth is of very little meaning. That's the comment from Arvin. Now, you can be part of the conversation all morning long. Our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio.
Arvin, can you set up like a charity for radio hosts, presenters? I wouldn't mind being a part of that.
Yeah, and we'll make sure that the operating costs, the overheads, are low.
They're
as
not
well.
Overheads. We'll just take the money and use it for a good cause.
For a good cause, sure.
Supporting ourselves.
Okay, now, speaking about whether or not something is just and fair, there's this recent trend that I just read about over the weekend. Fascinating stuff. Whereby you've got folks here in the Klang Valley who are ordering takeaway from these restaurants, but then, you know, they're just still sitting there in the restaurant and just eating their food out of the takeaway containers. Why? Because they do not want to pay that 10% service charge. Now, I don't know if this is, you know, genius or if this is unethical.
You know, this is very fascinating.
And like, why did I think about this before? Jeez.
You know, I'm just drawing a picture, just being in a restaurant, you know, with your family and, you know, ordering food, and it's all in a plastic container, and then sitting down and eating in the plastic container.
Having a picnic.
Look.
Right after you ordered a takeaway.
Yeah. Might as well just bring your mattress and, you know, your mats and, you know, and sit down on the floor. Yeah. But again, when I was reading this article, it just begs down that question as to why am I eating at a restaurant in the first place, right?
Oh.
Why can't you just take it away and go home or go back to the office, go to the desk?
Well, because it's more convenient, I guess. You know, then you don't have to take the trash with you everywhere. Looking at this phenomenon, so these restaurant operators are not inclined to chase away these,
which is another surprising thing.
Yeah, well, because they don't want that bad name, right? You don't want to be seen chasing someone out of the restaurant, and if that customer then makes a scene, then it just, you know, it can go downhill really, really quickly after that. But, you know, looking at this phenomenon, I mean, you can zoom out and also talk about the financial pressures that these individuals are facing for them to resort to such behavior. I mean, ethics aside, I would think.
I totally think it's unethical because you're taking up space in a restaurant, especially during the peak hours, and you're preventing properly paying customers for sitting there just for the sake of saving 6%. And I think that you should think of other ways as well if you want to save money. I know it's not easy to do, and we've spoken about this before, which is to prep your own food at home. You know, by my very, very uneducated estimates, I think you probably save 2/3 of the cost if you made your own lunch or your own food, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think packing food from home, like you said, does make much more sense at the end of the day. We're talking about 2/3, and this is just 10%. I mean, look, one meal would cost you about 19 ringgit, and 10% of that is just 1 ringgit, 90 cents.
19 ringgit a meal?
That's, well, apparently that's quite expensive. You know, that's how much it costs to eat in a bento.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, very classy. Very classy.
You know, but
bento,
again,
how do you take away a bento box and, like, eat that?
Well, there we go, right? So as opposed to them serving it to you on a tray, they are serving you a bento box.
It's like chap fun, la. They put everything.
Yeah, and it's compartmentalized, I guess. And then you can just take it away, or like someone, what some of these people are doing, they're just sitting right there in a restaurant.
Let's see, the environmental impact as well. It's negative.
Okay, well, then you can then extend that blame to the operators for even, you know, issuing these one-time use plastic containers or styrofoam boxes, right? I think styrofoam, has it been made illegal yet? I think so. I can't remember now. Someone correct me on this. You know, but then, okay, look, I understand if, let's say, this is, you know, during the peak hours or something. But, you know, if, let's say, this this is non-peak hours and they are...
That's fine.
And that's okay?
I think that's okay. I mean... There are entire business ideas, you know, that are set up based on that. Like Groupon, right? The original Groupon is just to sell away spare capacity of restaurants.
So there we go. So if there's spare capacity, then such a behavior is justified. I mean, that's the question we're asking right now. But we want to know what you think. So ordering takeout, but then still eating at a restaurant just so you can not pay that 10% service charge, is that ever justified? 018-789-8899. That's our WhatsApp number again, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. This is The Morning Run. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9, that was The Who with Christmas, and what a timely tune here, given that we are on this lovely Christmas Eve, and thank you so much for spending your Christmas Eve with us here on The Morning Run. I am Tan Chung Han, with me, Julian Ng, and guest hosting with us is Sharids Abdullah, and thanks to Need Positivity, or at MichaelKK59, you know, giving his comments on you know, how do we find happiness or or satisfaction? He says, expect less, then you'll feel happier. Merry Christmas to all. So a very timely message there. Thank you so much. Now, you can be part of our conversation all morning long. Our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, moving on to this next story here, this involves an incident whereby a Honda staff actually made some insensitive remarks, and then she was sacked. So there's been plenty of commentary and analysis since then. Asking the question, well, can employers fire you for controversial remarks?
Apparently you can, because it depends on the terms and condition when you sign on to a job. And there are most of the job would actually indicate if there are any, you know, that they can dismiss you in some form, mm-hmm. in some form of misconduct. But I think the problem here is that, you know, most of this, a lot of this terms are very vague and generic, and they don't specify specifically. So it's
very legalistic, right?
That's right.
So it's really legalistic terms. But there are also, I guess, different levels of controversials. Racism, of course, is a definite no-no, and that was the crime in this case. But what about controversial political remarks? Is there true freedom of expression in an employment contract?
Right, and where do you draw the line between, you know, what constitutes work-related behavior versus, you know, your own personal private lives? You know,
correct.
Like, should your social media accounts be the domain or be fall under the purview of your employers as well? I think this is up for discussion here, given what has been...
Like you, Han, you're a very famous person. So if you say something on your social media, can BFM sack you?
And see, that's the thing, right? This is where social media, I feel, has got more negatives than positives. For me, this is personally, purely a personal view, and I hope BFM doesn't sack me for this personal view. But, you know, like, the downside risks are more pronounced than the upside risks, though, at least in my opinion. I mean, you know, catching up with an old college friend via Facebook is great and all, but how often do you do that? You know, but, you know, the temptation to write snarky comments that could possibly land you more hot soup, that's even worse.
It's not just, Han, it's not just social media. Like, it's your private accounts on WhatsApp. And, you know, these days it's so easy to just screen capture conversations.
Right.
So you got to really watch your back.
Definitely. And Julian, I know you're going to help me do just that, right? Keep me on a straight and narrow, right?
Yes, that's my job.
Sharids, on the other hand, though, not so sure about you, buddy.
Not yet, buddy.
All right, well, you can let us know. WhatsApp us, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Where do you draw the line between personal and versus what can fall under the purview of your employers? Or is that line blurred in this day of social media? Let us know right here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.